Please pray with me. May only God's word be spoken. May only God's word be heard. Amen. Jesus used to tell a story about a man on the path between Jerusalem and Jericho. You probably know it well if you've been around the church long enough. He was mugged, he was beaten, left for dead. And what happens to this desperate man in the desert? People pass by, but they don't stop. A priest, in fact, passes by. A Levite, an important person in Jerusalem, passes by. Both were headed to temple business. If they were to have assisted the man, they would have been not only made late, but more importantly for them, been made unclean. But according to the listeners of the tale, the despised and unholy Samaritan is the one who doesn't pass by in holy haste, but he shows tender mercy, the tender mercy of God, in fact. He allows his life to be interrupted. He bandages the man's bleeding wounds. He cleans him with his stock of oil and wine. He takes him on his donkey to an inn and pays for his care. Everyone who listened to this parable begrudgingly had to admit that the hated Samaritan was truly the righteous one in this case, compared to the clergy focused on the temple and their worship of God and their cleanliness. This was a parable of Jesus's, a dynamic story told to draw us into a deeper awareness of God and the virtues of God. But there is a real-life demonstration of this parable in the gospel today. Christ is on a very important mission for a very important person. One of the leaders of the synagogue, Jairus, has summoned him with great urgency. His daughter is dying, and he needs Jesus to help. And his request is all the more impressive given Jesus' message of reform to religious authorities like him. But this mission is all the more impressive to readers like us today, more than the religious duty of the priest or the Levites. It's the duty to save a child from death. What could be more important than this? What more holy of a task could you imagine? And so Jesus is on his way to save this little girl. When on the way, he meets a woman in her own place of desolation. She's used up all her money, only to have been made worse by the doctors, for she's sick. She has this chronic hemorrhage, and now she's a victim several times over, suffering from this disease, from the community's aversive reaction to her, and from her poverty. By the religious community's definition of cleanliness, she is perpetually unclean. She shouldn't even be in this crowd. And at first, Jesus doesn't stop to heal her. She takes this initiative, this bold initiative to push through the crowds to be healed by him, pushing her way through the throng to touch the hem of Jesus's garment. You can imagine the crowd taking notice, maybe even recoiling in shock, not wanting to touch her. And marvel upon marvels, she is immediately healed. And rather than hurry to his urgent appointment, Jesus nevertheless stops everything, and he looks back and notices her. Even in this urgent place, he takes the time to listen to her whole story. She's no longer a lost bystander. She becomes part of God's story. Even more important, Jesus stops on the road to specifically name her, to bring her into God's family. Daughter, he says to her, thy faith hath made thee whole. Daughter. Meanwhile, Jairus' daughter has died. While Jesus paused to listen to this nameless, penniless, unclean woman, the daughter of this prominent leader of the synagogue has died. Do you see perhaps the scandal here? In a society like this, Jairus's daughter clearly should have come first and this woman second. But Jesus lets her interrupt his mission of healing. She's not just some outcast by comparison, but in fact is every bit as much of a daughter as is the daughter of this leader of the faith. So behold, Jesus will bring life and healing wherever he goes, but not on the world's terms and not on the world's timetable. Like the Samaritan, he was willing to risk scandal, uncleanliness, and unlike the priest and Levite, willing to have important missions from God sidelined for the sake of a person who is right in front of him, in need at that particular moment. It is a good spiritual principle in prayer to get one's priorities straight and act accordingly. First things first, so to speak. But this is only one part of the spiritual scheme of things, you know. You must be prepared for interruptions, divine interruptions. And you must be prepared to deal with the risks that come with being interrupted. The world is so much bigger than our priorities. The world and its priorities. God's priorities, scandalously, demand service to the person that is right in front of us. Our daily bread, so to speak. You could look at Jesus' life as one big interruption. Look at what he says to us. Sell everything you own and follow me. Leave your nets and follow me. Find that lost coin. Seek that lost sheep. Take up your cross and follow me. This temple should be a house of prayer. Turn the tables over, stop everything, and repent. For the kingdom of God is so very near. And how do we respond to these interruptions? How did we? Well, with brutality, to silence him so that we could keep going our own way. Unfortunately for us, he wouldn't keep quiet, even from the cross. And to make things worse, or thanks be to God, he wouldn't stay dead. Some of us don't have our priorities straight just yet. We're working on it. Without priorities, we can drift in the mist. But for those of you who do have your priorities straight, or at least seeking to have your act together, we must not be surprised by the deeper spiritual call that is ever ready to override our planned pathways. Do we make room for interruptions? Is there any room left in our lives? Is our life so busy that we can't improvise on the fly, whether it is God himself or even just a regular old curveball in life? If we're spending everything that we make, buying the best of everything we can, if we fill our calendars to the brim, if we fill our lives with things to do, schemes of progress, if in all that we have no time to stop and listen, will we ever hear God clearing his throat to get our attention? Hello? Down here, climber. Because that's so often where God meets us, from beneath. At the resurrection, after we failed to interrupt God with the crucifixion, Jesus spoke a potent image to Peter, his friend. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee. Another will tie a belt around you and carry thee whither thou wouldest not, where you don't want to go. He wants us to think of ourselves as unseeing, unknowing, being pulled by the belt, by our caretaker. this vision of the future is precisely the opposite of independence, a structure of our own control. In Christ, it seems, the future looks like a kind of blindness, a kind of late life unknowing, where we must be responsive to the pull and direction of our caretaker, the pull of God at every moment. And so it seems every prior commitment we have can be derailed by this. Every institution with our allegiance can be usurped by this, because God is bigger than all of it. And if we know that this is in the character of God to care for us in a world beyond our ken, to interrupt us in the midst of his care, I trust we will be more prepared and more responsive to these calls that look like disasters. God brings life and healing wherever God goes, but God also clears God's throat, punctuating our lives into new sentences that write us into God's story as daughters and sons. And as many here could testify, God will interrupt you and me. Those divine interruptions will be as plain as day if we dare to see them. You will miss appointments. Life will take a hard turn. Best laid plans will fall apart. Old dreams die, but with courage they are succeeded by new dreams. And the broken pieces will fit together with the golden threads of life lived day by day under God's care and God's guidance, down a path we could never predict. May that way, God's way, be our way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.